Hey, got the morning show with Aaron. That's Parabola West with Calling Your Name, some local music for Raglan Music Month. And here in the studio, I've got John Lawson. Morning, John.
Kia ora.
Now, we're here to talk about the Raglan Community Board meeting, which is tomorrow. John comes in every fortnight and we get into the weeds.
Every 6 weeks, we talk about the Community Board meeting being tomorrow. Yep.
Yes, and it is 1:30 in the Town Hall supper room. And are we just going to go through this list here, John? You've got the Stormwater Management Committee first. Is that doesn't sound very exciting at all, a Stormwater Management Committee.
Well, it's way down their agenda, but I put it at the top because I was amazed when I saw the comment saying that staff are not aware of Stormwater Management Committee ever existing.
But isn't this something they have to do according to the resource consent?
Yes.
And it keeps disappearing.
That's why I was amazed.
It keeps disappearing off the staff's radar. I remember I was saying how this sounds very boring. I went to a meeting that was far from boring when it had been discovered that they hadn't done it for several years and they brought it back. And there were 20 or 30 people in the supper room, some of whom were a little rude, but it's a while ago, so we're not going to get into that. But are we back to where we were then, John, where it's been forgotten about?
Yeah, well, eventually even regional council got in on it and said that it was part of their resource consent. So
they better
if they weren't doing what the resource consent said, then they were breaching their resource consent.
So what's the point of the committee? Is it some local input or something?
Well, it was set up when there was the last resource consent hearing into stormwater, because everything you do with water, or virtually everything you do with water, needs a resource consent. Until the government fast tracks it, I suppose. But the stormwater, I think it's 35-year consent they've got to carry on taking the water off our streets and pouring it into the harbour. And of course, there's quite a lot of pollution comes off vehicles and all sorts of other things that ends up in that stormwater. Mm. So it's good to keep an eye on it. And when they got that resource consent, then Harbour Care and me and a few others were involved in the hearing, and the decision from the hearing as one of the conditions was that they should hold a meeting with the community at least the objectors at least once every year.
And are they like reporting back the results of the water tests, or are they wanting the community to say, oh, we've got a problem here, or what's the point of that?
Well, both of those, yes. Yeah. So in the last report, which was last June, so not quite a year ago, they're still not in breach of the resource consent yet. They actually produced a very good comprehensive report, but they had a new stormwater manager at that time. And presumably they've now got another stormwater manager, and he's not, or she's not been made aware of what the issue is. Because I was surprised to see that this report actually had the name of the finance director of Waikato District Council at the top of it. So if she's not aware of some of these things, then I don't know who is.
I wouldn't expect the head of the finance department to be aware of that sort of stormwater issues, though, really. Not to this level of detail. She should know how much it costs.
Well, I would have thought if the community board had asked about it, they would have done a bit of research and found out about it. Because even just Googling, you can look for Raglan stormwater, and it doesn't take too long before you come across this meeting back in June last year.
So you're going to be at the meeting tomorrow?
Possibly. I'm not sure.
Okay. Do you want to send the question along with me about that?
Well, the community board is onto it. They raised the question, so that the community board's well aware of it. The problem is that staff don't seem to be.
Will they get an answer back this time?
Well, their answer is that staff aren't aware of the existence of the meeting.
We're making progress so fast here. Okay.
As I say, I was quite surprised when I saw it on their agenda. So there's a table of things on their agenda under works report, and that was the one that really stood out to me, which is why I put it at the top of a list on my list of what's coming up tomorrow.
I know that the last time I went to one of those, that meeting that was a little bit fractious, there definitely were issues that people wanted to talk about. And I guess the biggest problem we've got is all the toxic crap from the roads going into the harbour, possibly. Is that worse than the sewage? Well, it's not sewage overflows. What's the right word?
Treated sewage.
The treated wastewater going out on the incoming tide.
Well,
I would say it was
they're
worse.
All polluting, and the whole object of resource consent until the government gets at it is to protect our environment from pollution because of the effect it has on, well, us and all the other life that exists around us. So.
I suppose we haven't had any any information back about last October's exceedingly high tests that they did in the water outside the museum and over by the boat ramp. There were a couple of tests there that were a little, you know, there's good, medium, bad, and ludicrous, and they were beyond ludicrous.
Yep. Well, certainly that ought to be part of the report.
Yeah, I know. And there was some research, some more testing done. They didn't find anything. And the last I heard, Dennis Amor was suggesting to staff that there was some old pipes in the area that they needed to find out because they'd checked out all their own pipes. It's hard to say how to get that under control. I mean, we've got so many pipes coming into the water, and there's not really any system for cleaning the water, is there, John, for stormwater?
Well, we've got filters in gullies along the gully traps along by the roads, so they take out cigarette butts and things like that. But
not the toxic stuff.
Not the
stuff.
Chemicals, heavy metals that drip out of engines and drip out of brakes and things like, and tyres and things like that.
Yeah, you need something other than gauze mesh to do that, I'm sure. Okay, so that's can we park that one then? We know that that needs to be done and someone needs to ask some questions.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see whether the community board expresses surprise that staff didn't know about it and came back with that answer to them.
Yeah, the Te Uku Recycling Centre report shows fly tipping in the site consistently overflowing. Fly tipping? What does that actually mean, John? I've heard that phrase many times, but it feels like an old phrase.
Fly tipping is just because it costs money to get rid of waste because the landfill charges are gradually going up. It's worthwhile for some people to ignore the law and just tip something illegally.
Right.
And so what should go in a blue bag or what should go up to up for either recycling or landfill just gets dumped and it gets dumped all over the place. But it seems that the recycling centres, which don't usually have any staff there, are centres where people think they can go and do that.
Yeah, they do. And I know, like, we got friends out in Te Uku, and they said one time they were there and this car pulled up and this lady was quite open about the fact she was going to the beach from Hamilton and she knew she could dump some rubbish there. And so she was. Yep. And
well, they also did a part of this survey was seeing where people come from, and probably only about a third of people are actually in the immediate Te Uku area, and most of the rest come from either Raglan or Waitatuna. But then almost half of the other people come from even further afield. So
the Raglan and Waitatuna ones are still ratepayers and they're still paying for a service. So that's, and I can imagine someone, like if you live where I do and you're going into Hamilton every week, you might just dump some stuff there rather than go up to the recycle centre, which is in the opposite direction.
Or put it outside your house for collection, which is the other option.
Yeah.
For recycling. Well, for recycling and waste, so you can put your blue bag or you can put your bin outside and get it collected each week.
So given that there's not staffed, it's only for recycling and blue bags and the little green ones as well, isn't it? It's not for dumping rubbish like when you go up to
recycling as well. So usual recycling.
Yeah, the stuff that there's no charge for.
Glass, paper.
Yeah, so when Extreme started 25 years ago, they thought this was a nice thing to bring it to the rural community, but it's become now a thing where if it's not, there's no staff, you've got a real problem, and it's notable that they don't do this anywhere else in the district.
The people doing the survey noted that some people went away when they saw that there was some official there and decided maybe they weren't going to dump it just then.
Yeah, okay, this is another giveaway. Yeah, so there's definitely a problem. I can't see it being resolved unless they're prepared to put a staff member there, which will probably cost the local ratepayers heaps. So either do that or you close it and have a pickup service in the
rural area. Well, you could monitor it with a camera, I would have thought. So closed circuit television is on the community board agenda as well, and having a camera there seems to me a reasonable thing to do.
Come in, Jasmine. So, John, I don't know if I mentioned this, but Jasmine's going to hop on the air any second now, and we're going to just do a brief catch-up about the Compost Awareness Week that's on at the moment.
It's very appropriate to be talking about recycling and such like.
Yes, we're doing well. We've timed it well. Yeah. So, but you can, John, you can stay in your chair because Jasmine can grab that other mic. And are you ready, Jasmine, or sure, John and I keep chatting about the next thing on our list for a bit?
Keep going for a little bit.
Okay, all right. Methylene of Whanga Roads. Dennis Amore to consult with the roading team. So is this because, I mean, they're having problems with a lot of the roads with the stormwater ruining the roads at the moment. Is it? Do you know if it's related to that?
Well, I'm surprised that it's only Whanga Road because I also thought Te Hutuai Road had major problems as well. So
yeah, but it's very expensive to
apart from this comment that's in the agenda, I don't actually know anything in detail about it, so... again, it's another thing which I put high up my list because it's not been mentioned before.
So a bit of background, when Clint Baddeley was our councillor, so that's at least 7 years ago, the decision was made at council to stop, like the whole of the council's life, they'd been extending the roading network and then sealing the roading network, and the decision was made to stop doing that, that it wasn't cost effective to get to the last farm and this and that at the end of roads. So as a rule, they don't do that anymore, but... we're talking about roads here that have got increasing populations, increasing lifestyle blocks and things, aren't we, John?
Yeah, well, it's a problem for all our roads, I think, and so far it's not been looked at as far as I can make out. So, you know, we are increasing our population and we're not improving our roads. So at some stage there's going to be a problem unless we sort something out.
Did you see that document that was the comparison document between our council and other councils, some other councils, where we have the most kilometres of road per person in the or per ratepayer in the district?
Yeah, well, there was a report went to, was it yesterday's or today's council meeting, which had a whole series of comparisons like that, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just definitely a struggle. Roading is an issue for our council here, especially these hilly roads. Next thing on our list is footpath obstruction by the cafe. Someone did complain about that at the last community board meeting.
Yeah, whilst we're telling people about the meeting, maybe we can also mention that the agenda is on the district council's website if you want to go and have a look for the Raglan Community Board and look for their agenda. So the full agenda is there.
But there's also
Roger's just put up on Raglan 23 the same summary that we're looking at, or you can find it on the Whangaroa Environmental Defence Facebook page.
And it will be on the Raglan Community Radio page as well later on. And if you're listening to this on demand, you might be in that particular article already. Now, after we podcast this interview, the live interview. So, yeah, footpath obstruction. We don't know anything, do we? We're just going to find out about this footpath obstruction by cafes issue.
Yeah, well, again, this is just the one-liner which is in the community board agenda. And it has been an issue from time to time because, in theory, the cafes are only supposed to take up a third of the footpath space, and sometimes they take up rather more. And it seems to me that it's a good reason to pedestrianise Bow Street, because cafes with outdoor dining areas are very often more popular, especially since COVID. So it seems to me it would be good to actually widen the footpaths and not have so much of a problem of people squeezing past tables, which quite often seem to cover about half rather than a third of the footpath.
Yeah, it depends where you are. Okay, so the long-term plan, or the enhanced annual plan, we should say, submissions have closed, and they're doing... some people are choosing to speak to the commissioners about that. Mm-hmm. Commissioners or councillors?
Councillors, yeah.
Is that you? Are you doing that?
Yeah, I'm down to talk for them for 10 minutes, I think, so... not sure what I'm going to fit in that. But.
No doubt you've submitted on a lot of different topics.
Yes.
What's the burning issue, John, for you?
Oh, there's quite a lot of them. But,
no, you have to choose one.
We'll come to talk about the buses later on.
Okay, all right. It's always the buses. Okay. The Manu Bay breakwater. Have we got some news about that?
Well, apparently there is, but they're not telling the rest of us. They've circulated it to what they call the stakeholders, a favourite word of district council. But I'm not a stakeholder, so I don't know.
Okay, well, some of the stakeholders...
I only go and see it. And
some of the stakeholders have threatened and gone to legal action in the past, so I think that's inclined to focus their minds on certain stakeholders. So hopefully we'll hear more about that at the meeting. For those who don't know, there's a problem with the break. Who doesn't know? Boulders wash over the break wall and then sit lurking just beneath the surface as you drive your boat into the ramp, and that's not good. So we want to do something about that. We're near a walkway, so that's the walkway from the Bow Street jetty to the bridge to Papahua, and you can't use it at the moment, John.
I did see some people using it at the weekend, but yeah, in theory it's closed, and they're laying a water main along there. They've got a lot of blue pipe, which they're fitting together at the moment, and presume they're going to drag it into place along there and connect it up. So okay. That's the first stage of it, and then they're going to make what I'm still not sure what the width of it is. I've seen 1.8 metres and I've seen 2.9 metres.
I don't think it could be 2.9. That would require a lot of work to project it out, because the path, how wide is the path at the moment? Like 1.2? Well,
they are talking about cantilevering it. So
yeah, but the more you go, the harder it is.
Yeah, well, cantilevers do work, because they're used all over the place. You could gain quite a bit of width that way. And they're also, of course, going to put a railing there as well.
I'd be surprised if it was 2.9.
But for some reason, they've not mentioned what's happened or what's going to happen to the bit to the south of it. But maybe they're waiting to see how they get on with this northern section, and
they're waiting to see if they can get some money to do that.
Yeah, maybe we need to mention that when we're talking to them about the long-term plan.
Yeah,
like annual plan.
Like this one was done quite quickly within the current budget, but they left off that southern end, and that will be all to do, I guess, with how this enhanced annual plan goes, whether they get some money for it there. But they're going to need to, because that's in worse condition, that southern end. Can we move on, John?
And hopefully it's going to be finished by the end of July, so we'll see whether it's behind or ahead of schedule.
We're hoping for a civil defence meeting in May.
Well, we were hoping for one in April, and now it's May, and I've still not heard anything about it. So,
okay,
your guess is as good as mine as to when we're going to actually have one.
Yeah, it would be a guess, so I can't say. Freedom camping on issues with for residents of James Street. Outside. Is that outside the?
That's probably outside the bowling club, I'm guessing, but I don't know. This is, again, just a one-liner in the community board agenda, and since it's one I've not seen before, I put it up fairly high on my list of things which are coming up tomorrow.
Okay, CCTV. So for a long time we've been waiting for some government funding to turn into some action on this, and it sounds like we're getting definitely closer.
But maybe we're getting stuck, because they're talking about a backup. Again, the agenda is not at all clear on what this is all about.
The problem with it is that it's a Waikato-wide thing, where some central centre in Hamilton is going to be the place that receives the information, so that there's actually people keeping an eye on things. But the decisions outside of the hands of the Waikato District Council about how many CCTV cameras we get in each area. So, yeah, well, they just have to wait and see. Maybe they've been told, and we'll get an answer to that. But it is. I have noticed slow progress.
And maybe they'll put one at the Tuiuku Recycling Centre, who knows?
Probably not, because I reckon there's a bit of a bun fight for who gets the cameras, and people in other towns will be saying, Raglan doesn't need it, they have way less crime than we do.
Yeah, because this isn't the first time it's been on the agenda. It was on the agenda about a decade ago, and I'm not sure what happened to the cameras that were put up at that stage, so I don't know whether they've been forgotten or stopped working or nobody was monitoring them or what the story was.
There were issues around the monitoring. Yeah, and we shouldn't say that too loud, because we want the crims to, you know.
Well, maybe that's the issue at the moment, as to who is going to monitor it, because I understand it's going to be monitored centrally in Hamilton.
Yeah.
So presumably it's a question of who pays for that monitoring, whether it's all done by Hamilton City or whether they expect contributions from the other authorities involved in it.
I'm sure Hamilton City, if Hamilton City runs it, they'll want some contribution from our council. But it's probably the best way to do it, because I don't think there's enough work for a full-time, 24/7 surveillance is only going to happen if you've got enough cameras all around the place. Anyway, that's all conjecture. Hopefully we'll find out more. The Greenslade Road Reserve Playground. There's been some consultation going on out there.
Yeah, and they say that a notice has been circulated to residents to see if they prefer a standard playground or a natural one. So I know from talking to some of the people up there that they, all the ones I've talked to want a natural one, as they call it, but rather than one that's largely made of plastic.
That's basically the news I've heard. Are there pictures of that in the agenda?
No, there aren't, but there were, if you look a few agendas back.
Okay.
So there were concept designs at that stage, but I think they found the concept designs a bit misleading because it looked as though a main cycleway was going through the centre of the playground, and it wasn't.
Okay. All right. Do we jump ahead to what have you got, community board plans here?
This is an idea that council's come up with, that community boards ought to have plans, and our community board, I don't know whether they're not all that keen on it or whether they haven't got round to it. But
Or they already had their own plans anyway.
Well, we have got the blueprint and we have got Raglan Naturally and quite a few other plans, so maybe they're not too clear quite what they're going to do, because that essentially there's a reminder in the agenda saying get on with it.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that our community board, like after they got elected, they all got together and said, here's our plans for what we want to achieve over the next little while. I thought that sort of thing was happening anyway.
Yeah, well, again, there's a one-liner that says, Mr. Rayner to contact the council's community-led development advisor. So
I must say,
I don't know who that is, so maybe he doesn't either.
There's a bit of a theme happening here, John. You've put these things in, and I ask you a question, like, well, we don't know.
Yeah, so, well, I've also put a whole load of orange blobs on my version of it. And orange was intended to say we could do with knowing a lot more about this, because they end up being quite long agendas, but the stuff that really matters tends to be one-liner. And it seems to me that the community board could usefully discuss what its agendas look like, and presumably they know more than I do, so maybe they ought to be doing this slot rather than me, and you can actually ask them and find out more about it.
Who would I be asking?
I don't know. Well, you do talk to Dennis once a month anyway, usually after the meeting, which is quite helpful, because if he didn't know about it before the meeting, he should know about it after.
Yeah. Although there's things that happen like in the meeting, and there's, okay, someone's going to ask a question, and then you might not hear till the next one, by which time everyone's forgotten. Although sometimes a staff member present at the meeting will send off an email right away and actually get an answer during the meeting. It doesn't always happen, though.
Of course, you used to talk to the community board chair every fortnight, and now it's dropped to once a month. So all these things could do with improving as far as information is concerned. And also, the community board was going to use its Facebook page a lot more to provide information, and that still not happened. So
I think there's an information overload. There really is. Councillors and community board members get huge reports to read.
Well, they get huge reports, but as I say, the sort of important bits of them tend to be one-liners, and there's a huge report asking for money for planting the dunes at Ruapuki and protecting them from predators and weeds and things like that. But so that probably takes up, what, about a third of the community board agenda, and about a third is taken up with that report we were mentioning earlier about Tuku waste recycling. And the things which I find more interesting, I don't know whether I'm an exception or whether the rest of the community does, are the ones that I've highlighted in orange that we don't really have that much information about.
Okay, I might be able to tell you some things.
Good.
Oh, I don't know about this. Wainui Beach, Papahua Recreation Reserve car parks. Well, that's awaiting approval to award the contract, so they're going to be worked on at some point. I was hoping that would be done before. Oh, no, they always wait for winter, don't they? Okay, that'll mess up the soccer season, and hopefully they're waiting till Waka Armour is finished, because that's this coming weekend. That would be a mess if they were doing that then, but it does look like they are. Sound Splash, so the last meeting for the community board, the report from the staff was that they were pretty happy with Sound Splash this year. A few minor tweaks to sort out, but nothing like the big issues that they were dealing with last year. So
I think the issue is how much Sound Splash pays to use Wainui Reserve, and whether it's a reasonable amount, and whether the community gets inconvenience but doesn't get as much compensation as it might do from Sound Splash.
Most of the opinions I'd heard about this was that it was in line with what other areas were getting, bearing in mind that there's actually not a lot of resources up there for them. Like, there's nothing built. they have to bring everything in. But I know there's at least one community board member who seems quite bothered by this issue. So we'll hear more. I know we will hear more about that at the community board. They spend quite a lot of time talking about Soundsplash, the community board. And we're talking about a fee of $10,000, or something like that, that's part of the resource consent fee. The privet, that's off, John. They're not doing the privet.
Again, that was one community board member who was interested in it, and it's on the agenda again. But
is it? Oh, someone.
There's no update.
I thought last time, at the last meeting, they were like, okay, we're done with that. Like, it's not really our job to sort the privet out, but that's me paraphrasing.
Maybe that's why there's no comment on it or no change on it, but it's definitely in there.
Is John showing me it is? Yes, it's definitely in there. The next thing on John's list is the wharf. Oh, you just mentioned the opening ceremony, which was last week, and they had that. I've seen the photos. And that's good. It's done, apart from Puta Kawa tree's got to be put in when it's the right season.
Yeah, well, I think it's pity that they didn't keep the ones that were there. So presumably they've ripped up the ones that were there and they're planting new ones. But
maybe they've got them on ice, John. No, not very likely.
Because that was one of the things they didn't make at all clear when they were planning it as to what was going to happen to those trees.
Mm.
And of course, they did cut the one on the other side where they put the walkway in. So we'll see how well that works. Because I don't know how. Presumably, they've got some expert advice that tells them that Pohutukawa trees can grow in concrete tubs. But I believe it when I see it, because they tend to be very spreading and their roots spread a lot as well.
Maybe they'll spread underneath the tub. Has it got a bottom? Like, I presume it just the water soaks through.
They'll break up the concrete.
I don't know. Or maybe it'll just restrict it and it'll be a small tree.
No, I was saying I don't know and I'm puzzled by it, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see in 20 years, John. What else? Do you notice there's a few people watching the... while we've been talking, there's a few people... I'm looking at the list that John's put on an online Google Docs or something, and there's been a few people jump on reading it while we've been doing this, which is interesting. What else have we got on our...
The community board agenda keeps having the upgrades at the campground put on it, and yeah. So we've got those on again. Essentially, there's no change to what was reported last time. So at some stage, the community board is, campground rather, is going to be getting its kitchen and stormwater and roading and electricity and water all upgraded. They do say that a contract's been awarded for the kitchen, so that's one slight bit of progress. But again, it's not the most important thing in Raglan, as far as I'm concerned.
It's just the campground's ticking over. Those next 2 points, John. There's nothing really to say there. Do you want to go down to? Do you want to go straight to buses?
For some reason, my screen's gone blank, or at least that part of my screen's gone blank. But yeah, it's come back again.
There we go.
What's happening there?
Technology.
Yeah.
It's wonderful stuff. So the buses. Yeah, what's the deal with buses at the moment that you want to share with us?
There was a meeting last Friday of the future-proof transport subcommittee. The future-proof deals with looking at what the region is going to look like by 2070. And so part of it is looking at connectivity, and part of connectivity is looking at buses. And I think we talked last time about how the road into Hamilton is going to have to deal with four times as much traffic by 2070 if their plans are accurate. And yet there are no plans to improve it. So buses are probably an essential part of that. If they could get most people on buses rather than driving, then they probably wouldn't need to do anything at all to that road. But if they can't, then it needs some fairly major and expensive upgrades. And as far as I can make out, the only upgrade planned on that road is for possibly getting a roundabout at Fota Fota. But even that's not at all certain. The buses... they've actually reported that the new electric buses are serving Cambridge. And so seen those buses running around in Cambridge and in Hamilton, buses the same size as ours but electric, which if you've been to most cities around the world is not news, but it is news for Hamilton because they're the first ones in this area. And so it seems that there's no plans for us to be getting electric buses, but there's also no plans for us to be getting improved bus service. And essentially now Cambridge has got roughly an hourly bus service, whereas we've still got four a day. And the odd thing is that they also give the figures, and we've got about 2,500 more passengers every quarter using our four buses than they've got using their 20 buses a day.
So they have 20,300 for the per quarter, and we have 22,800 people using the buses per quarter, but we've got four buses a day and they've got 20 buses a day?
That's it. Which seems odd. And when I put it to regional council, they said, "We'll make a submission to your annual plan," which, as I say, is what I've done. That's why I want to discuss that at the annual plan hearing.
But you're making a submission to the Waikato District annual plan. They can't do anything about what's happening in Cambridge. That's a different council.
Well, I'm using Cambridge as an example of what we should be getting.
Oh, okay.
So if they've got 2,500 fewer passengers a quarter than we've got, and they've got electric buses and we haven't, and they've got a bus roughly every hour and we've got a bus roughly every 4 or 5 hours, then it seems to me that it's an example to follow.
So here's a thought. Waipa District Council, Cambridge and Tawamutu are their two main areas, and I could see them saying, okay, let's get some reliable buses from there into Hamilton, and that will serve most of our population. For Waikato District, we've got, it's just a mess. There's little towns everywhere, and I suspect they just throw their hands in the air and say, well, there's no way we can do proper bus service to all of those.
Well, it also depends how much of the budget they're willing to put into it, because at the moment the great bulk of the budget goes towards roading, and there are some roading schemes in Pōkeno, for example, where they're talking about a housing scheme for 350 houses, which is quite a bit smaller than the 500 that we've got going in over at Rangitahi. And then you look at the road that they've already got, and it's as good as the road that goes through Opaturu Road, through Raglan West. So you wonder why they won't spend $2 million or more on that.
Up there?
Yeah.
But they've also had 4,000 people moving up there, or 4,500 people already.
Well, this particular one, though, is only for 350 houses.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they've already spent a lot of money, and they've got lots of other schemes in there, but that was just one that I happened to take a more detailed look at.
I know this.
Compare it with what we've got at Rangitahi.
I mean, so what's happening up there is very... it gets a lot of focus because, I mean, was it Pōkeno had 500 people and now has 5,000? Uh-huh. Like, they have to stay focused on that, or it'll quickly get out of hand. So I just wonder if that's
but they're
everything
not focused
else
here, where we've got 3,000 going to 12,000. You know,
well,
we could end up with similar 50, problems.
In 50 years' time, and I know it's not all going to happen in 50 years' time, but it's happening up there right now. So I think that is, I'm not justifying it, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, I think that's what's going on.
Yeah, well, it's just an example of where that huge amount that we spend in rates for roading goes. And I'm questioning whether it's going to the right places on the right things, because we also talked last time about 200,000 for the traffic lights on the single lane bridge.
I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen, John, because everyone at the community board meeting were asked about it was surprised.
But if that money is allocated to Raglan, then that again could go into improving the buses, because they were talking about spending $100,000 a year on the buses, and that never got spent. Because buses are essentially, or can be, an efficient way of moving people around. If you can manage to get people using them, and when they only run every 4 or 5 hours, people don't even bother to look at the timetable, because it usually doesn't fit in with what you want to do, then it's quite a bit different to doing what Cambridge is doing and having a more frequent service, which is still not ideal, but is a lot better than we've got.
See, there's We talk every fortnight. We get together, you and I, and we talk about all these things and the things that need to be focused on that we're bringing up. I think it's too much for people to cope with. And at the moment, the council's saying, and when I say cope with, I mean to keep their eye on the ball for all those different balls. There's so much being juggled, and at the moment, council's saying to us, well, we're really screwed financially with the way that things have worked out in this country. And what things would you like to cut from the council budget? So I can't see them adding things to the council budget at the moment.
Well, I'm saying that they already have added things to the council budget, so there's a lot of new things that they're proposing to do, those traffic lights being amongst them.
Then it's not going to happen, John. You know it's not going to happen.
Well, that $2 million road being amongst them as well. So yeah. It seems to me that if they're looking for cuts, then they could usefully look for cuts there and still have money to do things like improve recycling and improve buses and the various other things that people have been asking for a long time in the form of Raglan Naturally.
Okay. Hey, I want to stop you there and jump to this bit about from the policy committee. Is that a policy committee, second to the fourth?
Well, there've been quite a lot of committees since the community board last met, and it always puzzles me that these committees meet and that things relevant to Raglan don't get on the agenda. There's a Waters Governance Board meeting this morning, and it's talking about the outcomes from their closed circuit TV testing of the sewage pipes, and they're saying that maybe they're going to come and present it to the community board, but that's apparently not on the agenda this time.
Well, so hold on. They might not have got that info in time to put it on the community board agenda, because remember they start preparing that like 2 weeks ahead of time.
Well, they did say in May or next available meeting, so hopefully it's the next available meeting.
Yeah, or it'll be in 6 weeks.
And they say that they're making 29 patch repairs on those pipes, so they did find something when they did their testing, and they are following up on it.
Okay. So in that policy committee, it says there's a council resolution approved the budget transfer from the Raglan Hall to the Raglan Beacon for $120,000 and to the Huntley Aquatic Centre boiler replacement project for $200,000. So was this money that was directed to the town hall for earthquake improvements that was discovered, then they discovered experts who didn't really need it?
Yeah, well, we did have this discussion, was it a couple of weeks ago or maybe 4 weeks ago? Because it was on the agenda quite a while ago. But as I say, it surprises me it doesn't then reappear on the community board agenda so that they can get more information about it, because all I know is what we discussed a few weeks ago. So I'm not really able to shed any more light on it than that. But it does seem to me that those questions ought to be being put by the community board, and staff ought to be able to answer those questions.
I don't think there's enough time in the day for community board members who are basically, I know they get paid, but basically if they want to do anything serious with that job, they have to be volunteers. And to keep it, like you found this, John, but you're the person who's wired for finding stuff like this.
But I don't get paid.
No, but you have you enjoy it. I think you enjoy it.
Well, there are staff there who largely create this agenda, and I would have thought it ought to be their job, and the community board ought to be saying, hey, we've noticed that these things are on other agendas. Why don't they end up on ours?
It's hard to know without being on the inside, but I just, like, this is a consistent thing. I just think too much information flying around for the people we elect to actually keep a hand on. I mean, we've had far worse community boards in the past, as you know, who everything disappeared. And at least I'll get into the details there. It's something the way things used to be. But in this policy thing, I also wanted to say evaluation report for the Arts Centre approved for the completion of the Arts Centre car park repairs. I guess that's happened.
Though people are now complaining about the glare from that car park.
Because
new concrete is always quite glaring.
rugby club refurbishments?
Yeah, again, we've talked about that one before. And the new ones are the meeting on the Waters Governance Board that's happening this morning, and also the meeting that's or the council meeting that's happening as well, which, as you were saying, has quite a lot of comparative statistics in it. But the other ones, I think we've largely talked about over the last few weeks, because and the problem is that the community board used to meet every month, and now they meet every 6 weeks.
So. Well, no, they met every month, but then there were several months where they didn't meet. So so they decided to rather than having meeting every month and then every 2 months and every month, like, they just would do it every 6 weeks.
That does mean that there's quite a lot of time in between, and you and I talk about these things, but the community board doesn't, and they seem to get forgotten. And then I've put at the end of my piece a long list of things which seem to have been totally forgotten. And, you know, I wonder whether that thing we were talking about at the start of the stormwater meeting being forgotten is just symptomatic of what happens generally, that new staff come along and somehow they don't get briefed on what's happening, and things just fall through the cracks.
I mean, the classic one of those was to do with when they
structure plan.
No, well, yes, but that's not what I was thinking of. When the walk bridge to Papahua was replaced, and even before that time, Shaw Mead was saying, "I don't think this is a good idea. I think this is going to eat into the sand." Uh-huh. And you provided me a list of, like, every couple of years there would be a discussion would start with someone at council to try and at least measure what was happening with the sand there, and then a staff member would leave and it'd be back to square one. And we've got to the point now where it's very visibly eating away at one bit, sort of between the walk bridge and the monument. And people are concerned, Ngāti Mahanga are concerned, because it's close to Te Awaitaia's monument. And anyone who's in charge of the or worries about the Pūtūkawa trees might be concerned, or the road behind the Pūtūkawa trees, or the parking area. All of those areas seem a little endangered. And I know there's definitely concern, but
they have done some planting.
Yeah, but what along there? Along?
Oh, just along the beach edge, yes.
You're talking about looking at
further down from the bridge rather than up where most of the erosion is. So,
yeah,
again,
I'm not sure why. Planting is not going to stop the erosion that's kind of opposite. It's kind of, well, between the boat ramp and the bridge, right? Planting's not going to resolve that, because they shifted what was effectively a groin back 24 metres. So there's potential for 24 metres of erosion to happen. Planting won't be able to stop that, so they need to put a new groin in. It's the only thing that's going to stop it. And I had a big focus about, see, this happens to me too, John, like, I had a big focus about that a while ago on the show, and we got people in to talk about it. Yeah, it's a problem, and I know that they've been meeting, other people in council departments have been meeting about this, but then I just haven't heard anything for 6 months now, and I haven't followed it up because I've been distracted by other things too.
Yep, and there's things like the annual meeting of the Coastal Reserves Committee, which, again, seems to have been forgotten. So, yeah, there's quite a lot of things like that.
And it requires someone to be passionate about an issue, to stay on the ball and keep pushing it and keep pushing it.
Well, it shouldn't do. It should be something which crops up on a computer and it comes up with a message saying, you need to organise this.
Well,
in the next
week. But shouldn't doesn't get us anywhere, does it? The reality is, you need to be passionate about it. You need to learn how the council system works, and you need to
and
be persistent about it over a period of years if you want something to happen, basically.
Yep. So hopefully there might be some more answers at community board tomorrow afternoon, and we'll see.
Yeah. I think we might be trying to do too much. I think that might be the issue.
Well, certainly the numbers attending the community board seem to have gone down in recent months, which tends to suggest that people aren't as focused on it as they used to be.
Well, does that just mean that the fishing club's less annoyed with the council at the moment? Because that's why we were getting a lot of people.
Well, it wasn't just the fishing club. There were other issues as well, but maybe there aren't any particularly contentious issues at the moment.
Yeah. All right, John, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
And folks, end of the show for the day. I'll be back again tomorrow morning, Wednesday morning.